Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Yes, in the retelling of a strange story, or any kind of story, it gets to be embellished. I wonder also, and you guys can tell me what you think, about oral histories, where somebody verbally talks of something, and it goes through generations year after year, and you wonder, something's got to be lost in the translation. I don't care how professionally trained you are. I think also this test they do on TV, this was years ago on one of the all-night talk shows, late-night talk shows. I think Steve Allen did it at one time. I don't know how many of you people remember the late Steve Allen. Anyway, he was a pioneer.
Oh, I know Steve,
He invented the Tonight Show. Okay. He'd bring on, say, five people from the audience. And he would whisper or have someone whisper a joke to the first person, who in turn would whisper a joke to the second person. But before they came out, he would tell the original joke. And then it would be quietly whispered. And by the time the fifth person got it and said, okay, tell us what you heard, it would have no resemblance whatever to the original. And the problem being here is, how can you get accurate information if the transmission method is so imperfect?
It is imperfect. And then the recollection on it, I think the subject is probably the only thing that could be trusted. Like if somebody witnesses a UFO and they had, you know, the memory of what happened and then they recall it 20 years or 40 years later, they're often going to tell a different story, but maybe not embellishing, but just from what their recollection is. And this is a sad thing from if we were all of us in this broadcast and we were at a location and we're observing a phenomenon in the sky. And then we were separated and asked to write down, what did we see? We're not all going to agree. Our testimony is not, it's going to be similar, but not in agreement. So it probably wouldn't even be admissible in the court of law, where your story, my story, Dave's story, you know, everybody's going to be different.
And to add on that, I mean, there's a lot of stories that, you know, people that witness the phenomenon, there could be five people looking up and only two of them see an object, the other three don't, and the two that see the object might have completely different descriptions of what they saw.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, this is one of the problems with this, and it really... It adds to the skepticism, because when somebody tries to examine a particular witness and their recollection, and because there's not a concise, provable, repeatable story, then that it makes it all fall into question. But, you know, everything we experience in life, if somebody was to ask me a question about, well, what did I do yesterday? Well, I'm at the age where I have a difficult time remembering what I did yesterday. I can remember things I did as a kid and stuff. But I could say, hey, I remember driving my car, driving to my office. I don't remember exactly getting in it. I just know I did that. And then if I tried to describe it and then somebody was to ask me, okay, that day that you described, can you tell us what happened? I'm probably not going to remember anything of it. And so this is, unless the event really impresses on somebody and that they take the time to write down, what did they experience? What did they witness? If they do a voice recording of it, this is one of the things that Peter Davenport is always stressing when he does, on documenting an event, is that you need to write down what you saw if it was just an eyewitness event.
Well, this is also obviously a problem with Roswell, that something happened and then we didn't have people start talking about it until over 30 years after the event, to Stanton Friedman and William Moore, etc., and Kevin Randall and everybody else. And the question being here, what really happened? How has it been altered? And I know when Kevin Randall wrote this book, Roswell in the 21st Century, the big problem here is he went back and tried to look at the evidence all over again. And what he found is that A lot of the stories just didn't hold up. Not that something didn't happen, but it's going to be real difficult to figure out what it was unless somebody who really can follow it from A to Z, everything, comes forth with written documentation.
Right. The follow-up may be that it didn't hold up because there was lying taking place, but didn't hold up because memories weren't serving. And that's probably really what was going on. You know, I'm a believer in the Roswell incident just on the merits of Jesse Marcel, who was the Army's chief intelligence officer, showing up on the scene, saw the crash debris. He knew it was not a weather balloon. And if it was a weather balloon, you would, in order to collect that balloon, you wouldn't send a massive troop to go and collect the debris. You would send maybe four people, you know, the person that drives the truck, the person who has the clipboard, the document, and maybe two guys to pick up the debris and throw it in the truck. It's not a very massive object. And it's not something that a chief intelligence officer would fail to identify. He wouldn't have that title or role if he hadn't been an intelligent person. And what happened, who knows? I mean, of what kind of craft it was. Was it an experimental craft? Maybe. But we really didn't have much of a sophistication in aeronautics. If you look back at history in 1947, we did not have advanced aircraft. I'm sure there's anecdotal information out there on the internet, and I'm calling it that because it's anecdotal.
But it comes back to this, what happened, and if it really was a crashed spaceship. I have two different areas where I try to refer to it. Number one is, okay, we have this alien race sending craft here, and they obviously have more than one. And one of those crashes. So what do? They allow it to crash and let the primitives take their technology and do something with it? Or do they try to recover it, in which case we have an even stranger story? Or will they bring their neuralizer and try to wipe out the memories from people who saw this thing? What would their approach be? I mean, if you come here and you're visiting us, why would you allow the locals to capture your technology? That's a logical problem. I mean, it's possible that's the big mystery of Roswell, is that the craft was somewhere along the line recovered by them, and they don't have it.
I think another thing that you hear a lot when people, you know, say that exact same thing was they gifted it to us. They wanted us to have it. I don't buy that either.
No, they don't want us to have it. That doesn't make sense. Number one is, say they come here and they are 500 years ahead of us. Or 400 years, Star Trek technology. How would we even know where to start in trying to reverse engineer it? It's not night vision goggles or printed circuit boards. I mean, take the iPhone, go back to the 15th century, the most prominent scientists, and say, here, figure this out.
You would have the same problem sending that to 100 years back to Nikola Tesla.
Sure.
You wouldn't be able to figure that.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, somebody like Philip Corso obviously figured it out, so there you go.
Right. Yeah, Philip Corso figured it out. I don't know anybody who really believes Philip Corso, what happened with him. I mean, I want to get William Burns back on the show.
You need to let Dave Mason tell you his opinion on the Philip Corso story with night vision. So I'll let Dave explain that.
Yeah, I just want to say I have not read the Philip Corso story, but I do know that he was advocating that night vision was taken from alien technology.
Yes, alien technology indeed. So many possibilities, so many questions when you bring up that subject. And by the way, our special guests, David Altman and Dave Mason, will be back for After the Paracast this week. That's available only if you are a subscriber to the Paracast Plus. To learn more about our premium feature and sign up within seconds, even sooner, check out theparacast.plus. Once again, that's theparacast.plus. We've got a lot more to talk about, especially the Philip Corso case, with David. Dave, Gene, and Tim, you're in
PowerCast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, so the claim in the book, I read the book, by the way, the day after Roswell that he wrote with William Burns. And let's pick up on that, where he claimed that the night vision goggles were based on alien technology, and you guys can tell us why that isn't so.
The night vision goggles that we even use today is largely based on the technology that was developed about 1935 in Germany, and the Americans came on it. And this was called Gen Zero, where it just had a photocathode would convert the photons to electrons, and then they would hit a phosphor screen through a high voltage accelerator. And this was not really true light amplification. It was more of an infrared detector, and it required infrared light source to illuminate objects so that you could be able to see it on the phosphor screen. And then there was the development of Gen 1, which was a little better at different photocathode material to enhance the sensitivity. But what really changed the game in night vision technology, this is image intensifier vacuum tube technology, was the introduction of the microchannel plate, which has a capability of taking one electron that's been converted from a photon to make it into thousands of electrons, which then gets striked to a phosphor screen, like a P31 green phosphor or a P45 white phosphor screen. And what that enabled was the massive acceleration and increase of electrons so that you could massively amplify light. And the first introduction of that microchannel plate was in the Gen 2 image intensifiers, and that came out, I believe, in the mid-70s. So in essence, what we have today was based on what originated in 1935, with the only difference of different types of photocathode material, the introduction of the microchannel plate, and then the phosphor screen. That's really it. There really has not been any revolutionary developments in that technology. And so based on how simple it is, I really don't think that it was a device, since it's a vacuum tube, that if you try to compare that vacuum tube to today's CCD cameras, which today the solid state night vision devices are getting better and better, more sensitive, they're still not quite there in the sensitivity of Gen 2 or Gen 3, but they're approaching. And I own both of those technologies, so I can make that statement because I've done tests on it. In time, maybe 20 years from now, we're going to have true CCD cameras that are just as sensitive as Gen 3, you know, or Gen 3 Plus, or even called Gen 4, that technology. And not likely that something of very advanced technology would still be using vacuum tubes.
The thing I worry about here, though, is why would someone like Philip Corso, who allegedly had a very stellar military record, make all this up? Because clearly it wasn't true.
I don't think he was making it up. I don't think it was in the sense of self-promoting. I think this is the problem in the field, where he heard it from somebody he believed in, or somebody of credible science, who then probably heard it from somebody else. And this is where information, when it's shared by somebody you trust, you'll go with it. I mean, there's people I admire. If they tell me something, I believe them. It doesn't matter what they tell me. And I think he based it on information that was given to him, but not done through direct information. And this is the real problem. We're often working in a field that has so much disinformation, so much misinformation, information from self-promoters, and then we have that genuine information embedded within it. I wouldn't accuse him of fraud or making things up. I would think that most likely it was false information given to him.
But why would he believe it?
Because there's people I find in that are not technical. You know, I'm from a technical perspective, and it is surprising that people that don't have the technical background will have a tendency to believe things, because, you know, night vision, it just sounds like magic. You know, on the onset, if it's not explained to you, it's just things like, wow, you look through these things and you're it's completely dark when you look, and then you look through them and everything's really bright. But if you look at the breakdown of how it actually works, it's really not that complicated of a system. I think it's just on the perspective of the person who believes it. I mean, we hear often in physics where somebody will make a misquote about something because they really haven't studied the physics. And if somebody has got other skill sets and it's not with physics, or it's not in electronics, or it's not in astronomy, when somebody gives them parameters about a device, they're basically going to be clueless about that device, and they'll just go with whatever somebody tells them about that device.
And maybe he heard it from somebody that he trusted.
That's what I think happened. I don't think, you know, somebody like that would want to just throw that out there and get themselves into, you know, a suggestion that they were trying to make something up for a book or a story.
Maybe they'll tell us at the next hearing.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, it really does look like it. You know, the vacuum tube itself, it is a vacuum tube. It does have a vacuum. It has a high voltage charge. And somebody figured out that if you have photons striking this particular material, it would release electrons within that vacuum. And then using a high voltage static charge, you could pull those electrons and impact a phosphor screen, you know, like a just like glow-in-the-dark phosphor, and create an image from it. And they realize that if you do it properly, you can do image intensification. It's a very basic principle. It still works very well. It certainly has limits. I mean, you can't look at bright lights with it. You'll burn it out. There's a finite tube life, all the things that, you know, work against it. I just don't believe that an ET would be using what would be considered a primitive technology.
Again, I say that if ET was here, they're capable of doing what they are supposedly capable of doing, we would have no way to figure out their technology.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. I mean, it's just like you could take your laptop of today and send it to the 1970s. Even the 1970s, we're just going back a very short period of time. People that would look at it and say, well, there's a microprocessor that's just in, it's very small. It would be very hard for them to understand it. If you took that laptop and then put it to the 1940s before the advent of the transistor, now you're really going to confuse people. And then if you even tried to go back in time and say, hey, this laptop does this and it connects to the internet. Well, what's the internet? You know, oh, you put these apps on. What are the apps? Well, it's got software. Well, what's software? Even if you went there with the book, it would be so much beyond their comprehension. So if we end up receiving crash debris, good luck in trying to figure out what it is and study what element it is or what purpose it had. And also, often we would probably make false conclusions. If we saw protrusions, we would say, oh, this must have been a waveguide, or this must have, it may have had a totally different purpose.
Well, just go back to Star Trek in the 1960s. And Star Trek Strange New Worlds kind of continues that, more or less. Look at the tricorder. Look at all the inventions, the communicator, from the mid-1960s when that show was first designed. Now look at science and what science has developed since then. And Star Trek is supposed to depict the 23rd century. Star Trek Next Generation, the 24th century. But think how much is on that ship that we can already do or we are in the process of developing. Even warp drive.
Captain Kirk's communicator.
So, yes, of course. Hey, we've got more to come with David, Dave, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Cleanup and damage assessment continue this Sunday after a deadly tornado touched down in northern Michigan. State police saying two people were killed and more than 40 others injured after a twister tore through a mobile home park in Gaylord. Governor Gretchen Whitmer declaring a state of emergency for the area. Thousands of homes remain without power. The United States and South Korea plan to hold talks on restarting joint military drills in response to North Korea's nuclear program. President Biden and South Korea's president making the announcement at a news conference in Seoul. And as far as if the president would be open to meeting one-on-one with North Korea's Kim Jong-un.
With regard to whether I would meet with the leader of North Korea, that would depend on whether he was sincere and whether he was serious.
This is USA Radio News. Ukrainians are pushing back as Russia makes slow, incremental progress in parts of eastern Ukraine.
I'm not sure that it would be much of a helpful metric anyway, Lita, because literally territory is changing hands every single day.
So said Pentagon spokesman John Kirby during a briefing on Friday. He was pressed on who controls what at this time and said the situation is changing every day. The Pentagon confirmed another weapons shipment to Ukraine this week, costing $100 million. Older Americans are being urged to get a COVID booster shot as more of them are ending up in the hospital. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky sharing that message this week. She described the increase in hospitalizations among older Americans as steep and substantial. She also noted just over 40% of folks 65 and older have gotten a shot over the last 6 months. This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
This is me, the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
Yes, think about the communicator. Hey, we had that developed, what, in the 1990s?
Right, and it was just rather, you know, a simple cell phone, and, you know, we were gloating at the fact at that time that we had a device that was very comparable to what Captain Kirk had in Spock. And now how much that's developed through this iPhone where, you know, you can do video, you can load all these apps, you can do so many amazing things from this very small device. And so many people within the tech field failed to even see the potential of it. There was somebody, I won't mention names, he was very well known in the software industry and said that the Apple iPhone was basically worthless because it didn't have a keyboard. So you get people who don't even have a vision about devices that are pontificating their beliefs over something.
Well, I remember, of course, that the Motorola flip phone was the StarTAC because they couldn't call it Star Trek because Paramount would sue them.
Right.
Then you have Android, which is Droid from Star Wars.
Of course. Of course, or Data was an android in Star Trek Next Generation. But the point being here is that we are currently looking into possible matter transmission.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, remember The Fly, where the fly gets into the transmission device and they don't have a filtering mechanism. So you get,
right,
therefore, someone with the head of a fly. That's the thing they missed out in that movie, no filtering mechanism. In fact, there was an episode of Star Trek Next Generation, this is fascinating, you may have seen it, where Captain Picard and crew are transported back to the Enterprise, but the filtering system fails and they come back as children.
Oh, interesting. I haven't seen that episode.
If you could filter the contents, you could basically send someone in the transporter, cure all their diseases, and bring them back.
Right, if you could unify it so that all the code was just to be this certain thing, kind of like a antivirus on a computer, where you could go in and cleanse somebody of all of the ailments that may be propagating within the body.
They can also repair defects. Okay, my heart's not that great right now, and I go for treatment. I don't need to do that. I just go into the transporter. In the 24th century, you know, we can't even predict what's going to happen a century from now. And sci-fi writers do their best to figure out the 23rd and 24th century. Their best guess is as of the time they write the stories. But right now, we are so far beyond that level. Whatever you see in Star Trek, I expect if we're still here in the 24th century, we will have gone way beyond that. Not so much Star Trek Discovery.
I'm actually getting started on a new project. I really can't get into much of it, but it involves a cast member from Star Trek and Jesse Marcel III. We're working on something together.
Very cool.
Oh, you'll have to keep us updated on that.
I'll keep you in the loop when the time is right.
Is this for a major production company?
I'll talk about it more when I can. I've already said too much.
He's using the vetting tactics. You know, just ask certain questions, and then you'll get the answers. You know, between the lines.
We will endeavor to try to do that. Yes, indeed. But the point being here is, I would think, and this is where my theory is, that what we see as UFOs is a put-up job. You know, it's like an external holodeck. They're generating that because that's one or two steps beyond our technology. So we'd accept it. What they really are, we couldn't even begin to imagine.
Yeah, or it could be, you know, like Greg Bishop talks about a lot, the co-creation theory. You know, sure. Like we could be creating it ourselves. It could just be, I mean... Another thing, you know, we could just speculate all day. We'll never know. Hopefully someday we will. But in my opinion, it could be anything.
Right. I don't think it's going to be the Hollywood, you know, saucer lands with landing pods and exiting our small humanoid beings saying, you know, take us to your leader. Yeah, I think it will manifest in different forms of communication and in forms that we're not expecting. And then even of those forms, it's up to us to identify it. And I think part of that communication is the exposure of their craft where they'll make an appearance. People see it. Some people won't notice that it's anomalous, but those who do notice that it's anomalous will take notice and try to take action on it in some way, whether they try to get involved or try to communicate. And information that I believe is limited for the purpose of not giving us too much information, because face it, if we did have a sudden encounter where these beings land and they're the candidates, like the ones who want to serve man, you know, from Twilight Zone. I know they, if you had that type of encounter and they actually gift us the technologies that we look for because we want to get off the fossil fuels and we want to do all these wonderful things, that kind of technology falling in the wrong hands with people who want to attack and take over countries with impunity, they would use that technology for that purpose. And it's very comparable to if you were to give or teach a chimpanzee how to use a machine gun to defend its group from predators. And you know what that chimpanzee would do. They would turn it on everybody and themselves. And we have to demonstrate a level of competence and intelligence before we will make contact. I think that's really what's going to end up happening.
One of our members of our team suggested something to me in email the other day. And this is something I'd like to bring up right now. And this might explain a lot of what's going on. That Earth is a penal colony. We're descended from a penal colony, and that's why we're so messed up.
I've heard that one.
They might be even dumping people. or who knows? I mean,
maybe the guards are Bigfoot.
I mean, we could really go off on a lot of these different tangents, but you know, what it is that there's just a preponderance of evidence, and the problems that we have is we don't have enough evidence because we don't have enough to sway the general opinions of people, and to sway science. I mean, there's mainstream science, and that is, but yeah, again, mainstream science accepts the fact that you have dreams or I have dreams, I have the nocturnal dreams, but we can't prove scientifically that they exist. And yet it's accepted because of the preponderance of the evidence, because the majority of the world population recalls these dreams. But think about it. If only 10% of the world population could recall their dreams, they would be labeled as crackpots and needing medications, as being afflicted with some sort of a nocturnal disorder, a mental disorder. And this is what's happening in the phenomenon, is that we don't have the majority of the population observing paranormal or UFOs. It's a smaller segmented percentage of the population. So because they're the minority, they are excluded from science.
We should not forget, in terms of dreams, that because he had dreams, Paul McCartney wrote Yesterday and Let It Be, among other songs.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he's mentally defective and he should spend some of his $1.5 billion to fix his problems.
Right. Well, this is what the problem is. But if you actually look at the basis of science, you can't prove to me you had a dream. I can't prove to you that I had a dream. If you tell me you have a dream, I'll believe you because I've experienced them. And this is where if the world population was to witness, say, the UFO phenomenon, and somebody comes out and tells you, hey, I saw a UFO, you'd relate and say, well, yeah, I saw one, so I believe you. When I hear somebody telling me a story, I believe them because I have witnessed them with my own eyes and recorded them with thermal cameras. So I know it's a real phenomenon. I spent a lot of time outside doing astrophotography and then running thermal cameras. And I've seen enough convincing evidence from our military and from NASA and from our commercial pilots. There's a tremendous amount of real data, but it's just not, it's often being suppressed.
We got so much more. One more segment of the main show, more of After the Paracast, our premium show with Dave, David, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Are you ready to retire? Inflation is picking up, the markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. The stock market goes up and down is beyond your control. But you're at a point in your life where you can't afford to make big financial mistakes. I'm Al Ibarroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Our investment strategy allows you to go up with the stock market, lock in your gains, and when the stock market goes down, your investment won't lose a dime. This works for your investments, savings at a brokerage firm, or even money in a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and literally never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
David Altman, Dave Mason, Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz, talking about, you know, about the film that Dave and David worked on, A Tear in the Sky. And we talked about the film earlier in the segment, but I'd like to bring that up just briefly. Why that title? What is Torn?
It's kind of hard to believe, but this is true. Caroline Corey named our film A Tear in the Sky before we even went out to film the movie. And it just so happened that A Tear in the Sky was very fitting. I don't want to give too much away, but after you see the film, think about that. Think about that. After you watch this film, the movie was named A Tear in the Sky before we even started production. We'll leave it at that.
And that's kind of rare in the movie business where you have a final title before you film it, unless like you're filming a book or something.
Yeah, she just liked the sound of it and something came to her, maybe a little bit intuitive, and that's how it happened.
Okay, what can you tell us about the film, and you want, obviously, people to watch it, that would lead one to say that's a logical title?
Dave?
I don't know if we would want to disclose that, because at the end, there's a, you know, it's kind of synonymous with the title. The title is a carryover from what Dave said. It was the original concept, and it just happened to be that the data that we collected actually fit that title.
Oh, boy.
Now you have to see it. AtearInTheSky.com. It's on Amazon right now.
Okay, so you rent it from Amazon or buy it or what?
You can buy it from Amazon and you can also rent it. It's also on iTunes, Apple TV, Vimeo, where most video on demand are.
You can also buy the DVD directly from AtearInTheSky.com, the website. It sells the DVD direct.
I'm looking at it right now. A Tear in the Sky. You can buy it for $12.99 at Amazon, rent for $3.99, and it's gotten pretty decent reviews.
And if you're actually an Amazon Prime member, you can rent it for $2.99.
Ha. Okay. I'll make a note of that.
Yeah, we've been in the top 10 documentaries on iTunes. We've been number 4 and number 5. We were actually number 3 when we came out. We're still in the top 10. Movie's doing very well. It's been very well received. We've won a bunch of awards, doing some film festivals, and hopefully more to come.
Oh, we wish you the best. Of course, We also, of course, featured the phenomenon, the film from James Fox.
And my good friend, Lee Spiegel.
Right. Right. And we hope this works out. So,
and also, let me just mention that I saw another great film recently that everyone's looking forward to, The Aerial Phenomenon. Watch that.
The Aerial Phenomenon. What can you tell us about that?
I can't talk too much about it because I was given the opportunity to do a pre-screening. It is about the case of the school children in Zimbabwe. Heavily features John Mack. You can actually catch some of the footage and some of the story in The Phenomenon.
Well, I know The Phenomenon had a pretty major part of that. Also, a lot of the footage was removed to keep the time down. If you look at the credits, it's kind of like Marvel film credits where every few seconds it stops, shows you 30 seconds of something, then shows you more credits.
I do believe there's a lot of bonus footage for that film. I haven't seen it, but I heard there's some bonus footage if you buy it.
It is especially on Vimeo. I know that we offered a special deal for long-term subscribers to our Paracast Plus package. We had a small number of coupon codes for the Vimeo version of The Phenomenon. And, of course, we used them up pretty quickly and couldn't get any more. We tried to get some more. But that was the version that had the extra footage.
Wow.
Well, I have to say that I thought the Terror in the Sky was very well produced, and that the the data that you collected for this film was very compelling.
Yeah, that data will actually be shown and reviewed by Kevin Knuth, Christopher Altman, and Matthew Sudeikis. If I said his name right, I always get it wrong. At the SCU conference, June 2nd and 3rd, they'll be going over the data and sharing it with the public. Most of the data. A lot of it is going to take a lot longer to go through. But what they do have so far, they're going to provide to the public.
Now, this film comes in just shy of 90 minutes. Which is a good length for something, especially when you have films like The Batman, almost 3 hours. And I thought that was dreary, beyond belief, The Batman. Okay, a lot of people loved it, but I didn't like it. Anyway, it comes in just under 90 minutes. Do you have a lot of stuff in abeyance that you could not deliver in the final print?
As far as anomalous recordings, I don't think that we've missed any anomalous recordings. There were just certainly other things that... my inventions, I demonstrated more inventions to Travis Taylor. Not all of them made the cut because of the time constraint that we had. I thought that everything was pretty well covered and explained, and a lot of information was conveyed within this movie that people, when they watch this movie, they're going to say, you know, if I'm here to watch for the process, I'm satisfied. If I'm here to watch to see what was gathered, I'm satisfied. It's a beautiful movie from a cinematic standpoint. It covers a lot of ground, and it's filled with animation inserts to help viewers understand what's being discussed. So it has a lot of guidance, much like that is used in Nova PBS programs.
And it has Captain Kirk.
When I got to meet him, it was quite a, you know, being starstruck, and luckily I only got to speak a few words to him because my mind just switched off. I mean, I was pretty overwhelmed in his presence, of course, because he's William Shatner.
And William Shatner's ego can overwhelm anyone.
Don't get me started.
but let's just say it's earned ego. It's justifiable.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like when Muhammad Ali said he was the greatest. He was. He was able to prove it. I think when somebody has earned that title, and Shatner certainly has. I mean, he has been such a major inspiration for scientists today. I can remember when I was about 3 years old or 4 years old in the programming and watching it as it was being aired. And I had some difficulty understanding it because I thought it was real. I thought there was a spaceship flying around and things like that. But I was very inspired by Shatner and by Leonard Nimoy. And it got me thinking along the technical lines at a very early age, and I think it inspired me to be in that sector because of Star Trek. And I've talked to other people who have pursued science, and it's all started from Star Trek.
The science of Star Trek. We'll talk more about that because I have a couple of points I wanted to bring up when we get into our premium show after the Paracast for Paracast Plus listeners. But for right now, I don't know who wants to be the one to take it, David or Dave. Tell our listeners if they want to find out more about you guys and A Tear in the Sky, where did they check you out?
I'm only on a couple social media platforms. I'm on Facebook, and then I'm on, I have a YouTube channel. On my YouTube channel, I just have some night vision astronomy videos and a few random videos, my parrot playing my guitar, those kinds of things. That's really that. I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on other social platforms.
And where do we find the film?
AtearInTheSky.com. And my Twitter is at David H. Altman. Facebook, David H. Altman.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Find the Paracast on Facebook. Find our branded merchandise with the T-shirts and the logos and the mugs and the caps and everything at theparacast.shop, theparacast.shop. If you want to get after the Paracast, sign up for the Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus for quick sign-up. We also include this show free of the network ads. Part of the Paracast Plus special deal. Use the coupon code UFO20, that's UFO20, to save 20% on lifetime and five-year subscriptions, the Paracast.plus. David Altman, Dave Mason, thank you both for joining us on the Paracast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind in paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.